So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
The emotional issues of legalizing medical and recreational marijuana, the calls for those have largely been led by Democrats, starting with Governor Tony Evers in this session of the legislature. But a few weeks ago, two serious Republicans, offered a plan to legalize medical marijuana. So I wanted to ask them to come in and discuss their proposal. I want to thank State Senator Kathy Bernier of Lake Halley, a Republican representing the 23rd District, and Assistant Assembly Majority Leader Mary Felskowski. She's a Republican from Irma. She represents the 35th District, to come in and talk about your proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Let's kind of set the table this way. In January of 2019, the governor did ask for both medical and recreational marijuana. You have made a decision to just introduce a bill on medical marijuana. So here's my question. Did the governor's call for both medical and recreational set back the cause of just medical marijuana, which is the purpose of your bill? What do you think?
Well, I think it may have. I have a lot of colleagues that are absolutely against recreational marijuana and believe that medical marijuana is just a foothold to eventually go with recreational
the
marijuana.
Slippery slope argument.
Slippery slope argument.
Senator.
And I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay. How do you see the evolution on this issue, Representative?
I think Governor Evers included it because it, especially the medical portion of it, because it's something that the state of Wisconsin wants. I mean, we heard about it. There was a lot of county resolutions asking for medical marijuana. Just in my district alone, it was well over a 75%+ issue. We've seen it all over the state. So I'm not sure it would have mattered who the governor was. I think that the conversation would be happening.
Would we be further along with a medical marijuana bill, maybe even signed into law, if the governor and Democrats had just focused on medical marijuana instead of both?
I don't think so, no.
Why?
Well, you know, it's interesting. As this has all gone forward, so there was a bill earlier in the session that was introduced, and it was very loosely written.
Yes.
And I worked all last summer during campaign season to work on a bill that I thought maybe could get a hearing just to start the conversation. So we worked with a lot of the outside groups. We worked with employers. We worked with the medical society. We worked with many different ones. Then we sat down with, I did in the assembly, I know Kathy had talked to legislators in the Senate, and just said, what are you okay with and what are you against? And in all honesty, there isn't one person there that is against medical marijuana to just say, I'm against it. There's seriously concerns. And the reason is, Steve, is because as many pieces of science or research that I can find that tells you that it can help with certain things, mm-hmm. I can give you a piece of research that says, you know, it's hard on people, it doesn't work, it's all. So people are legitimately torn. They are very torn. Now, I found, I'm sure we've talked about this before, if you have a family member or a loved one,
yes,
who has had a debilitating disease,
yes,
where the side effects from some of the drugs that are used to treat more chronic or even fatal cancers and things, they're horrific. That has a tendency to open people's minds to an alternative. I don't think that it would have.
I agree. I think, too, the science isn't there necessarily because it's still a Class 1 drug at the federal level. There's not enough grant money given to pharmaceutical companies to really delve in to all of the positive aspects of marijuana as a natural ingredient in a pain medication or a treatment. And so, you know, in this process has helped me delve a little bit into why don't we know? We know that we passed CBD as part of an option for some seizures and various other medical type things that we allow people to treat themselves with, but we don't have probably enough research on marijuana yet. And I think part of it is the federal level. They need to do something mm-hmm. about taking it off
Schedule 1. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous that it's there.
It strikes me something you said, Representative, the number of groups that you have had to work with on this issue. You talked about the Medical Society and XYZ, and then where's law enforcement on this?
Well, law enforcement, as of right now, has not really said we're going to be in favor of it or we're going to be against it. And I think law enforcement is also wise enough to know that it's coming. Their concern is how the law is written, and then how do I test for it? So right now there's a trial going on, and I know City of Sheboygan and I think Madison are too for sure. They got grants from the Attorney General's office, and there's a swab, and then they can test for that.
Okay.
But we were given, actually one of the guys at Ledge Council had given it to me, that there was an article in, I think it was one of the governing magazines, where there's a corporation in California that's ready to release a breathalyzer that will test for alcohol and THC levels. So that gives law enforcement kind of a parameter to work with, because if we don't have that, they don't, what is their role here?
You
know, what is impaired? And they know, we did the statute as far as the THC levels, the same as in CBD, so that it kind of mirrors each other, because they kind of know where there's a range when impairment hits. So we worked off of the same.
I'm also intrigued by the number of states that are legalizing medical and recreational marijuana. Illinois just legalized. How has that changed the dynamic as you two work on this issue, just medical marijuana?
So the slippery slope, I think, is the one conversation that people always had. This is going to lead to recreational, and I say no. There's 33 states that have medical marijuana. There's 11 states that have recreational.
Including neighboring Illinois recently.
But
January 1.
The big, huge word. There's only two states that have passed recreational through its legislature. The other states did it on a ballot initiative.
Referendums? Statewide
right.
referendums?
Yes. So we do not have a ballot initiative in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I was at a seminar in early December, and I was with some legislators from Michigan, and they kind of gave a, you know, worst-case scenario on having marijuana legalized in your state. Because when you have a ballot initiative, today it's illegal, tomorrow it's legal. You have no framework. You know, as far as who can, any licensing, anything. And they said, you talk about scrambling and trying to get something together. And so we sat down and I heard a lot of things that they had said, you know, trial and error and how do this, don't do this, and so on and so forth. So I don't believe the slippery slope. I think it would be years before the state of Wisconsin would ever, ever entertain going full recreational if they ever do. And I think a lot's going to depend on how the other states react to it. I know we're going to have pressure. Now, Michigan is full recreational. That was done on a ballot initiative. Minnesota is only medical.
Medical.
And then Illinois is both.
Yes. And Iowa has not yet legalized, like Wisconsin, either one. As you work on this issue, do you hear some really compelling stories that make you want to cry? I mean, I did interview Senator Teston talking about his grandfather. He supports medical marijuana. So before we get to your personal stories, have you had constituents and others come up to you with just, oh, my relative, someone I love, my spouse, whatever, is so sick. Can't we get this done, Senator?
I've had people speak to me on that. But I guess the one most impactful moment was quite a few years ago when I was running for the assembly and I was knocking on doors in a trailer park. In the town of Seymour. And there was a woman there who was undergoing chemotherapy and had cancer. And she begged and pleaded for me to legalize it, you know, hoping I could do it all by myself. And she said, it makes me feel better. And that was probably the most impactful moment.
So she was admitting that she was breaking the law to try in an attempt to cope with...
And it's not just cancer that people often use marijuana for to self-medicate. There are, you know, people who have some anxiety or mental health. I am understanding that the marijuana seems to relax them, kind of like the pills do that the doctor give you, that it relaxes them, it brings them off that high anxiety point. So there are a number of reasons why people self-medicate. either with marijuana or other drugs mm-hmm. or alcohol or whatever. So to have this as a legal opportunity, to me, makes a lot of sense. And we don't, you don't just go out and get medical marijuana. You have a conversation with a medical professional that would prescribe it. And so I don't understand the pushback of the anti-recreational marijuana folks to the medical marijuana. And maybe they don't understand the cannabinoids and how your body and your receptors utilize those that marijuana and how it works with the system, because mm-hmm. There's a lot of unknown. Like Mary said, you know, we have people who can talk about the positive effects, and then you have the other side of the equation and individuals who insist it's a gateway and there's other problems with it. But I think that under a doctor's, physician's prescription and monitoring, I think we don't need to micromanage everything.
And I want to get into how your bill would work in a little bit. But congratulations, you're a cancer survivor twice?
Yes.
Twice.
Yes.
When you were dealing with the effects of being treated, would you have liked to have the option of medical marijuana representative?
Yeah, because I can guarantee you right now, I will never put another opioid in my body.
You want to elaborate on that?
So when I actually had to have, I was borderline stage four. They wouldn't even stage me. So I had to have very, very intense chemo. And the chemo that I had, it kills your white blood cells off. So then I would have to have the shot called Nuestra, and that was to make your flat bones produce more white blood cells, almost kind of like a just, you know, rash production. Well, 5% of the population reacts to the Nuestra, and yes, I was lucky. I was one of those 5%. So for 18 weeks, I lived on Oxycontin and hydrocodone. So every 3.5 hours, I took two Oxycontin, and then 3 hours later, I would take two hydrocodone, and I did that for 18 weeks. And not only does the chemo make you nuts because it affects your brain, it makes me nuts, high anxiety, and I took 7 other prescription drugs to combat the effects of the opioids. And that was just to, you know, and at that time, I can remember, like, I'm in tears in my oncologist's office going, I don't want to be an addict. And his words were, we'll worry about that. Let's see if you live. I mean, that's where I was at. But I will guarantee you, Steve, there will never be another opioid goes in this body because of the side effects.
Okay. Did any family members say, you know, you're really hurting? Don't ask me where I get some marijuana.
No.
Would you use it?
No, because that would have been my children, and I would have never asked them to do that.
Okay.
You know, they're just starting their lives. I would have never put them in that position.
Okay.
But you know what? I would move if it came down to that, you know, if this ever happened again. But I look at it, it's so much more. You know, I have a really dear friend who has MS, and her husband is like, we're done. Like, she is now, like, not functioning off, you know, and she can't function. She doesn't hardly clean her house. She's on all these side effects, and he's like, that's it. So he has opted to break the law, and she is a different person. She's functioning again. She's mm-hmm. not back to work, but she is functioning, and she has quality of life.
That's one example. Let me ask this question. Do you think, as you work on this issue, that the law is widely being violated on medical marijuana now?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a huge black market because mm-hmm. of it. I hear from people day in and day out because we introduced this bill.
Massive numbers of people have contacted my office in support.
And, you know, it's a lot of it is an older generation, you know, where they don't. And plus, just look at our culture, what's happening. There is $40 billion a year in the United States spent on companion care outside of the medical profession. People want organics. They don't want prescription drugs. They want to try to heal themselves naturally or do as many things as they can. And this kind of feeds right into that. Give us something, you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to pick on conventional medicine. I am not doing that because I am alive today because of it. And I thank God for that every day. But that doesn't mean there isn't a place for both. And, you know, when the FDA puts a drug on the market and you hear it on TV and the majority of the commercial is side effects, you know, people don't want that.
Okay. Just to be clear, I think I heard you say it, but I want to clarify. both of you now do not support recreational marijuana. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
That's a fair statement.
That's a fair statement. Let's see. Let's talk about how your bill would work.
Okay.
Because you put out a bill. You're Republicans. Your party is in control. And immediately Democrat says it doesn't go far enough. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the mechanics. Can one of you please lay out how medical marijuana would be dispensed if your bill became law, or both of you?
Well, Mary'd probably do a lot better job, but tinctures, patches, oils that you can dissolve under your tongue. Currently, I mean, I have no problem with the gummies or even, to be perfectly honest, smoking it takes effect easier, faster, whatever. But we wanted to be able to compromise with our colleagues in order to get more of our colleagues on board. And so we took out the smoking
and the grow your own.
And the grow your own and the gummies, and you know, relied on the tinctures, the patches, the oils. I don't know if there's any other.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things too is when Kathy and I, when we talked about this too, one of our big things was I know this is a political football, but we wanted to remove it from the legislature and politics as much as we can.
Okay.
And I know that's not always possible. So we formed a marijuana regulatory commission. So it is made up of five people, one appointed from the majority and the minority leader in the Senate, the speaker and the minority leader in the assembly, and then the governor. And then the governor's appointment would, you know, name the chair of that. They then would run the regulatory commission. The regulatory commission would set the licensing fees, set all the parameters within controls that we put in statute, and they would have an advisory board made up of people from DHS and people from within the industry. We also then empowered that commission, because we did a very tight, when we looked at the conditions that this would apply for, we took like the most common in the five Midwestern states. So it's very limited compared to other states. But we employed the regulatory commission in conjunction with the medical examining board to expand on that.
Okay,
and it would need a unanimous vote on that.
Would your bill specify the type of ailments or diseases that medical marijuana could be used for?
Correct, and that's what's very limited in our bill. And then it's expanded upon by the medical examining board and the regulatory commission. We empower them to do it.
So do I have this right? If I have one of the disease or ailments in your bill, mm-hmm. I would go to any physician.
Well, that's one other thing that we did.
Thank you.
So there were some physicians that do not want to be involved in this. So what we did is we said, okay, so we'll give you a little bit of cover. So if you are a doctor, you have to take a 4-hour online course in order to be able to recommend medical marijuana. If you don't take that course, then you are not able to. So that way, if any physician was morally opposed to doing this or did not feel comfortable with it, he would not be forced into it just through battering. But yes, we have a very limited, it's like cancer, Crohn's, glaucoma, AIDS, PTSD, seizure disorders. And we did that, but then empowered this commission
yes.
to expand it.
Okay. And would the commission then, would you set up a new division of the Division of Health to do this, or no?
No, it's actually the commission would be under Department of Revenue.
Department of Revenue.
Right. And the only tax on this is the other thing. We did not want this to become a revenue generator. This is not about making money. This is about helping people. So there is an excise tax between the dispensary and between the processor and the dispensary. No sales tax on it, nothing else. This is not about making money. This is about allowing people to use something that they need. Now, one other caveat in here, and this was a request of Representative Nygren, which won't surprise you, is when a doctor gives a medical marijuana recommendation, mm-hmm. he enters it into the pharmacy benefit, or the PBM, the tracker.
Yep. So
that way, if you are in an emergency situation or whatever, the doctor that treats you would know, plus it can't become like a Candyman issue.
How do you regulate the type of medical marijuana that is being dispensed? Does it have to be grown in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Or it does? It
yes.
has to be
It has to be grown
homegrown.
In Wisconsin. It has to be processed in Wisconsin. And then the packaging on it, I mean, we could talk about the packaging in depth. The labs have to be totally independent. Anybody that's in any other area of this cannot have any financial interest in a lab. And then the lab, and it would be very tightly the THC levels in it and the packaging of that.
Okay. You, of course, dealing with this issue, you've heard the specious arguments that some of your fellow legislators say, look, I don't want it's so loose where maybe it's in California or Colorado. Oh, I have a hangnail there. Ergo, I need medical marijuana. So you have tightened it down. So that's are they becoming convinced as you?
So, you know what? One of the other things, like we have a seed to sale tracking system. Like every place, we'll know where everything goes. And you have to be a resident of the Wisconsin for X number of months before you can get this. But I have asked Speaker Voss repeatedly to have a hearing on this.
Yes.
Because until we have a hearing.
He has said he would like to find a way to legalize medical marijuana.
Well, he said he's in favor of it.
Of your bill?
Of legalizing medical marijuana.
Okay, that's different than your bill. Excuse me.
I think he thinks that my bill is too loose.
Where the Democrats say it's too broad.
Right, it's too tight, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think...
I'm sorry, it's not broad enough. What is
right.
a better way to phrase it? Excuse me, Senator.
I think, you know, not that I'm in the Assembly anymore, but and had a conversation with Speaker Voss on the subject. And he's more in the arena that maybe a governmental entity should be created to dispense the medication. Because at this point it would be a medication and not so much that it would private dispensaries would be the answer.
See, and that was one of the conversations I had with a gentleman in Michigan, and they're like, you know what, keep away from that. And their comment was, this is still a federally illegal drug.
Yes.
So you do not want your state involved in the growing, the processing, or the dispensing. Because once you do, you are now, as a state, violating federal law. Plus, your employees, you are asking your employees to violate federal law. And that could just open up an entire can of worms. Because I think the thing is, you know, one of the things I've heard from my colleagues is we don't want a dispensary on every corner. So we did limit them in the bill. But there's usually between 1.4 to 1.7% of the state's populations that have medical marijuana. So for a $6 million state, that's 600,000 people that may use medical marijuana in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a limited market. So you're not going to have a dispensary. I mean, the
that's
market
right.
itself is going to take care of the distribution. You know, a dispensary on every corner would never work because they'd go broke.
Correct. That is the way I looked at it, too. I think that's worrying about... I mean, they have the ability to have six between Chippewa and Eau Claire counties or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm venturing to guess that we would probably end up with one
right.
somewhere in Lake Halley or Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire that would handle two counties because you're not going to have the volume
correct.
to allow for that many dispensaries.
You know, and one of the other things they really warned us on, too, and don't create a black market. And I fear...
There's one right now.
But I fear if we don't allow the smoking of it, especially in our veterans community, because they're the ones that really want it, because it hits the lungs and it's much more effective quicker,
right.
I just have a fear that we're going to, you know, open that up. And that's why...
But your bill doesn't allow smoking.
We don't allow it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. And that's why I'm really encouraging to have the public hearing, because I think we don't know what we don't know. And I think if we could have the public hearing... That would start the conversation. Would this pass next session? I don't think so. I would be optimistic, but I think it's going to be, I think it'll be well into two sessions from now.
Are you resigned to not having a at least a hearing this session in your house?
I'm going to keep pushing.
You're going to keep pushing.
You know, and I had a conversation with Senator Strobel. It's in his committee, and Senator Strobel is not there, and I respect Dewey's position on it. So Dewey had told me if it comes to my committee, Mary, I just got to tell you I'm not going to hear it. So it is in government and state affairs, and I am asking Robin and Representative Swearingen if they would have the committee hearing. I know we're running out of time here, but I just would really like to, maybe late February even.
We all have a lot of things on the docket we would like to at least get a hearing on to. It's always good to listen to the testimonies to find out where there are issues, where there's an agreement and that sort of thing. And so that's always helpful,
mm-hmm.
even though you know it's not going to get through the whole process.
Right.
The public hearing's very informative.
Right.
And Kathy and I have said this from day one. The bill in front of you will not be the final draft.
Understand.
You know, we are way open to amendments because this is totally uncharted territory. And this is probably the hardest thing we've ever drafted. I mean, it was like, once we got this figured out, it was very all over the board. Because you are dealing with federal law coming down heavy, and it's illegal here, and it was interesting.
Senator, what intrigues me is you're a sponsor of this. Mm-hmm. Senator Tustin, in an interview, he supports this. Mm-hmm. If you got one more Republican senator, and I talked to a chief of staff who said privately, my boss is leaning towards supporting this, and all the Democrats voted for it, you'd have a majority in the Senate. But you're not going to get there this session.
There's decisions made that are above our pay grades.
I understand.
As Mary stated. So, I know it's not going to get through. And generally, the majority party doesn't bring things onto the floor unless they know they have the Republican votes.
Sure.
Or Democrats, same way, if they were in the majority. I'm not sure the Democrats would vote for this bill.
That was kind of my next question. If they're arguing for broader dispensing provisions and ultimately recreational marijuana, would they be willing to accept this as a legitimate good faith first step?
You know, I think it would be down to the point, and I've had great conversations with both Senator Erpenbach on this and Representative Taylor, and they know. I mean, if I was queen, would this be the bill I put out? No. But they also know, the world we work in, we have a lot of different personalities to compromise with, which is okay. You know, we're a diverse state. Diversity is good. And I think they may, from the standpoint then, you know, a lot of times we do things and when the sky doesn't fall, we go, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Since you announced the bill and people have had a chance to look at it, do you have more supporters today than when you announced it?
Not ones that are coming out and speaking straight up, I don't think. I think the ones that signed on to Tustin bill, they'll be in support of it.
Mm-hmm. I think we have 10 or 12.
Maybe 10 to 12?
Maybe more in the assembly.
If there were anonymous votes in both your houses where nobody was held accountable for their vote, would it pass?
Yes.
I think so, too. Yes.
Because, there's a real segment of the libertarians, too, that are like...
Mm-hmm.
The leaders that want wide-open recreational, do they hurt your cause by focusing on something that isn't going to pass anytime soon?
You know, I think at this point I would say yes to that, but I think the public hearing takes that down. Because information, and I'm not sure that people really realize that so many states, the only way they got it was a ballot initiative.
I see.
But I also look at it from this standpoint. We could ignore the issue, and one day the voters are going to say enough.
Mm-hmm. And
then we will have no say in how this bill is written.
I'll tell you what my constituents contact me about and think and tell me about is there's a lot of individuals who utilize recreational marijuana. They don't want it criminalized, and I don't think we need to criminalize it as it has been on a Schedule I issue. So I think that's all whacked out, to use a technical term. That's pretty well messed up. But the one thing that they think, whether it be medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, that we will be swimming in dollars,
right,
and we will have so much revenue.
Well, the Colorado example, and some of those numbers. Excuse me.
Yes. We had a speaker from Colorado come and talk to us about that, and don't. Fall for the argument that somehow this is going to be the answer to all of your state financial issues, because it will not be.
Because you said you tailored this is not a major revenue GPR upper.
No, because the one thing we saw in the other states that tried to do that is the enforcement issues on it, and the law enforcement, it eats up all the revenue. It's kind of like the old lottery. You know, the lottery was going to save us from everything.
Yes.
I think I still pay taxes.
Yes. Okay. We're almost out of time. Maybe a final question. I think you're both conceding this bill is not going to pass this session. Mm-hmm. If you're both back, will you have made major progress in some of the dialogues and having a formal bill out there for the next session? Are you hopeful that it can take a next step, maybe a committee hearing in the next session as this bill evolves and morphs, Senator?
Yeah, I am hopeful. I think we can work with Senator Tustin and others in in the Senate side to come up with another proposal, some tweaks and changes will probably be in order, but the key is to get a hearing, and maybe I need to have a conversation as to where to direct the bill in order to have a hearing. That might be helpful.
Yeah. Has the Speaker told you some specific changes that he would next session
hold a hearing? You know what, in Robin's defense right now, it we're drinking from a fire hose. There's a lot of things coming down the pike. This is probably not on the top of his list. And I've even said, you know, we know it's not going to move, so maybe a little bit, maybe even towards the end of session, just let us have a hearing on it and get some of the vetting done, you know, what was good, what's bad, so we have something we can actually work on and gain some information from.
But you're long-term hopeful that at some point Wisconsin is
going to be? At some point it will. And I think more and more research is being done on the benefits of and CBD.
If anybody is even watching this, start writing your congressmen and your senators to take it off of Schedule I at the national level.
Absolutely.
You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? We have the UW Medical College here and UW-Madison. If they could not be even doing research on that side by side with a lot of other things. And I actually have a CBD processor in my district. You would be amazed at where it's located. But they just attended an event out in D.C. with the FDA where some of the drug companies are using the cannabinoids. They're using it in regular FDA-approved drugs because what it does is it opens up receptors so they can get the same accomplishments with less of the drug itself. So things are happening, and we just need to be more open to them.
Well, I really appreciate the amount of work and you coming in to talk about your bill. It's a very serious bill. I want to thank State Senator Kathy Berner of Lake Cali, a Republican who represents the 23rd District, and Assistant Assembly Majority Leader Mary Felskowski, a Republican of Irma, who represents the 35th District. There, I got your name right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.